John Millay always brings us great stories from around the state. Today, he has a doozy for us. This is Preps Today with John Millay, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. John, I'm just going to let's start off with the show with that story, the coach and the baby.
Yeah, Jim, it's remarkable. You and I, we've been doing this a long time, and every once in a while, you find out about a heck of a story. I'll say heck of a. I'll keep it clean here. I get an email yesterday morning. So we're talking here on Thursday morning. I get an email Wednesday morning about something that happened Tuesday night. And I get this question a lot from people. How do you find out about these awesome stories? And this is the best example I can tell you how I find out about this. Here's the email. John, yesterday our softball coach coached two games in the section tournament and gave birth to her fourth child 15 minutes later on the road.
Yeah, but what else did she do?
Delivered by her assistant coach. Call me if you want details! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. It's from Joe Kemp. He's the activities director and football coach down in southwest Minnesota in the great town of Wabasso. Joe and I go way back. I've been to Wabasso multiple times. So, of course, got Joe on the phone right away. I put the story up late yesterday afternoon, Jim. It's just blowing up on Twitter. Joe was the crucial cog here, even though his name's not in the story. So he basically connected me with the people involved. Tiffany Eichten, that's the softball coach at Wabasso, her husband, Christopher, and Andrea Ellenson, who's the assistant coach. Her due date had already come and gone. They're playing in the section playoffs in Cottonwood. They won the first game to stay alive. Second game, they did not win. And in the middle of these games, contractions have begun. And Andrea Ellenson is a nurse, an obstetrics nurse, the assistant coach. So she was telling me, she's keeping an eye on Tiffany. When Tiffany's out coaching third base, Andrea said she could tell something wasn't right. So she's checking with her. How far apart are the contractions? Do you need to go? Christopher was right there. He knew this could happen anytime. But let me just read this. This is kind of the key part of the story I wrote. This expert, bear with me while I read this, because this really tells the story. The original birth plan was a delivery at the hospital in New Ulm. But that was 70 miles from Cottonwood. They considered Redwood Falls, which was a 32-mile drive. They settled on Avera Marshall Regional Medical Center in Marshall, only 14 miles away. Christopher drove in rapid fashion with Tiffany and Andrea in the back. At about the halfway point between Cottonwood and Marshall, near the village of Green Valley on Minnesota Highway 23, Tiffany made an announcement. "I think the baby's coming." So, wow. I'll continue reading. In the driver's seat, Christopher kept the pedal to the metal. In the back, Andrea was ready. Quote, "I was maybe driving a little above the speed limit," Christopher admitted with a laugh. All of a sudden, Tiff was very quiet. "I was speeding in and out of traffic," and she said, "I'm having the baby." She gave one strong push, and their daughter was born. There happened to be a blanket in the vehicle, and Andrea wrapped up the baby, who began to cry, a strong, healthy, wonderful cry. And then here's the last couple paragraphs of the story. The beautiful baby girl weighed 8 pounds, 6 ounces, and was 21 inches long. Her name is Andy, A-N-D-I, Andy Rose Eichten. The name Andy is a tribute to Andrea Ellenson, who delivered her. Andrea coaches softball, yes, but her real job is working as a nurse in Redwood Falls, an obstetrics nurse. Quote from Andrea, "I've delivered a couple babies before, but all of those were in the hospital. I told Tiff that I kind of forgot that we lost the game." And the last sentence of the story is, "On this day, everybody won." Wow. So there's a picture of the baby. If you go to John's Journal on mshsl.org, there's a picture of little Andy. And I think they're going to get me a family photo. This is their fourth child. The oldest one is 5. And that's a busy family, I told Christopher. So I'm thankful everybody was willing to talk to me about it. And this is a sports-centric family. And the only reason I know that is because two of their kids are named Elway and Jeter. So I don't think those are old family names. I think these are some sports folks. So yeah, this is wild, Jim. Just talking to everybody involved. I basically started each of these three phone interviews with the same question. Tell me what happened. And they all have a different perspective. Christopher's driving. Andrea's ready to deliver a baby in the back seat. And Tiffany, of course, is ready to give birth. And she told me that when one of their previous kids was born, I think 5 years ago, the oldest, it was the day after the section tournament ended, after their season ended. So she was hoping it'd be the same scenario. She could get home and go ahead with the planned birth at the hospital in New Ulm. And of course, nothing went as planned, but everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. I believe they went home last evening back to Wabasso. And that's how these stories happen. Somebody I know, sometimes it's somebody I don't know, tells me a little tidbit and away we go. And boy, that was really fun yesterday talking to these folks and trying to do this justice. And in fact, just by happenstance, I'm going to be driving through Wabasso later today. I'm going to Milroy for a section baseball game, maybe two games, depending on what happens. And Wabasso is on the way to Milroy. So I'm not going to stop in at the Eichtons and bother them any more than I already have. But it's interesting how things work.
That's a great story. Yeah. And that is the kind of stuff you get here at John Millay's show at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of our shows across the network as they were released. Best way to listen to this show and the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. And thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks also to Jody Stay from Pizza Barn, PizzaBarnPrinceton.com. She made it over to Rush City to serve my wife's staff. Last week, I just got a request on Twitter to hook her up with Jody, who now that they have the food truck, they can go anywhere. They're thinking about adding a second food truck. And of course, John and I are up there for a great meal last week. Anything else new with Pizza Barn right now, John?
You know, Jim, we do know the identity of the pizza of the month. It's garlic ginger teriyaki egg roll. I might put the word garlic in a sentence that included pizza. Garlic ginger teriyaki egg roll. That sounds interesting. I'm kind of chicken about inventive foods. I'm from Iowa, meat and potatoes, and I'm pretty happy. Throw sausage on the pizza. I'm really happy. As happened last week when we were at the Pizza Barn doing our show, brought much of a sausage pizza home, which my wife and I enjoyed to no end. That food truck, that's the big hot thing. We got to see it in person. We got inside it and spent some time. It's really something. People are, like you said, people are hiring that food truck, for lots of events, and your wife's school staff got to enjoy that. People are basically asking Jody, can you provide food for my child's graduation party? Mm-hmm. That's been happening. What a great thing that would be.
Yeah.
So, and the best place to find out about all these things, the Pizza Barn Facebook page, there's always lots of updates. And as we talked about last week, they're back at full capacity at their spot in downtown Princeton. Easy to find if you're going north or south on 169. 100% capacity, tons of choices on the menu. Everything's available for dive in. You could dive in if you wanted to. It's a hot day. Dine in, take out. Take and bake or delivery. So thanks to Jody Stay and everybody up at the Pizza Barn.
All right, let's get a state tournament update from John.
Yeah, here. Jim, we're kind of getting rolling here. We talked about this week. We have one state tournament going on, boys tennis with the small schools at St. Cloud Tech, the big schools at Prior Lake. And as everybody knows, it's just super hot. It's humid now. It's uncomfortable. The schedules have been adjusted. We had the team competition Tuesday and Wednesday, now here Thursday and Friday, singles and doubles. Up in St. Cloud, they actually added a second site. They went to some courts at St. Cloud Apollo to try to get more matches done early in the day before it got too unbearable. And everything's rolling along. Everything's fine. We do have the team state champions in boys tennis. That was decided Wednesday. Edina in Class AA, Breck in Class A. And as I said, singles and doubles are being played now. And next week is when everything busts out. It's every other spring sport, here we go. State tournaments in baseball, softball, lacrosse, track and field, and golf. All of that between Tuesday and Saturday. it's going to be very busy. I hope we get a little bit of a break from the heat. I don't know that we're going to get much of a break, but that'd be nice. And a lot of people are asking me, hey, where are you going to be every day next week with all these tournaments? I don't know yet. I just don't know. I've got to figure that out. Probably Sunday and Monday, I'm going to have to look at matchups and possible stories and sites and maps and figure that out. But I talked about this last week, Jim. People who are used to going to these spring state tournaments, walking up and buying a ticket, you can't do that this year. Tickets are only going to be sold online. There'll be no tickets available at the menus. You can use your phone. If you walk up and you don't realize and you have a smartphone, you can just get on the app right there. You'll be able to see the address, you know, on your phone to buy those tickets. And if you go to mshsl.org, you get that info. I've tweeted it out just today, just Thursday morning, links to the ticket app. And yeah, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hectic, but it's going to be fun. And then we're just going to kind of sit back and celebrate that we survived this very strange year, and we're finishing strong here. Everything's back to normal. If you'd have told me 6 weeks ago that by the end of the spring seasons we'd be back to normal, I don't know that I would have believed it. I think we just got so used to masks and spectator limits and shortened seasons and weird schedules, and that's all past us now. And it happened in a hurry. I couldn't be happier about that. I think we've made it. I think the fall is going to be 100% normal, hopefully, knock on wood. But it's quite the experience to look back on what everybody's been through, not just high school sports and activities, but every part of our lives through this pandemic. And we're going to be talking about this till we all drop dead, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it might not be so long.
Yeah, but if it keeps getting hot like this, I might be I might be falling it soon here. I'm going to take a cooler full of ice to Milroy today.
Oh yeah,
keep my lawn mowing towel that I soak in water and put around my neck. I'm going to take that with me, and I'll admit it. I've got a big long, I got a 50-foot electrical cord in the trunk of my car and a fan that I'm carrying around just in case I need it. So I'm smart enough to stay in the shade, but boy, it is hot. It is really hot.
And I used to play summer league lacrosse in St. Louis in full pads, 100 degrees, 100% humidity. And that towel works because if you can ice down the back of your neck and your wrists, it helps. It really helps a lot.
There you go. Yep.
If you enjoy this show, you might also enjoy my show. It's a different kind of thing, but Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. We've had some really good guests on lately, including LaCroix Hawkins talking about his life and Kevin Seifert explaining why he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to retire. That is, of course, at TalkNorth.com, where you can subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Let's get to Thank a Ref and some milestones.
Yeah, some little short hits here, Jim. Some good stuff, as always. There was a nice tweet from the Waterville Elysian Morristown Athletic Twitter account, thanking Mike Pagan, who's an umpire who's retiring. This was a few days ago. The tweet was, thanks, Mike Pagan. Last night was his last game. It was in the Section 2AA tournament. Mike is retiring. Umpiring with him that night was his son, Josh, which is really great. Josh will keep at it. Mike lives in Arlington. We can't say enough about all of our officials. And I'll tell you what, every time one of these officials retires, that opens up a spot for somebody else to become an official. And we need you. We need young officials. You know, even if you're not that young, we need officials. So congrats to Mike on retiring from umpiring. And again, that call, we always put it out for people interested in officiating. We need you. Some milestones from some coaches. Becker softball coach Jason Vaughn, he got his 300th win, as did Chan Hassan softball coach Joe Conan. I know both of those guys. They're fabulous. Congrats to them on 300 wins. And up in Rogers, Royals baseball coach Brian Harrapat, he got his 100th career win. Way to go, Ryan. This was a cool tweet from the Northfield track account. They had their season-ending banquet. And this is what there was a picture of a bunch of kids standing outside the school. The tweet read, 30 minutes after our banquet wraps up, and I find a mix of 16 sophomores, juniors, and seniors hanging outside the school together. We started this season as a group of strangers after 20 months off. We are entering sections next week as a team. That really says something. You know, they've completed their banquet. They're getting ready for the section track meet. and nobody wants to go home. They're just hanging around having fun with each other. That really is a great marker of what high school activities mean.
That's great stuff. Anything more to say about the weather, how it's impacting prep sports?
You know, we talked about the heat. I was at a baseball game Saturday afternoon at Hopkins, St. Louis Park and Hopkins in their section tournament. And that section tournament was completed last night with Hopkins beating St. Louis Park for the second time in the tournament. So the Hopkins Royals have advanced to state in 4A baseball. But I got out of my car and I was prepared. Like I said, I've got a cooler with me. I had my umbrella, my lawn chair. I had bug spray. I had sunscreen. I was like an old guy going to the beach, you know. And the temperature gauge in my car as I got out said 104 degrees.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Hopkins has just phenomenal facilities. They got four turf fields, including the baseball diamond. It's like Siebert Field at the U of M. There's no dirt. It's all turf. Every inch of it is turf. But how hot is it? If the temperature's, you know, if the air temperature's 104, how hot is it out there on that turf? And I don't know who the home plate umpire was. He was a, you know, looked like a seasoned, experienced, not an older fella, but that's who I really felt for, because they're not going to the bench, you know, every half inning. They're not sitting in the shade and getting a cold towel and probably having a fan blowing on them. And they wear so much gear. You talked about playing lacrosse in the summer. I mean, these home plate umpires, they got the chest protector, and the shin guards, steel-toed shoes on, that helmet and mask that weighs about 10 pounds, it looks like. So this umpire, every half inning, he was coming over to he had a bottle of water there, and I hope somebody was filling it up for him, because that just didn't look safe to me. And kudos to those guys. But then as I was talking to Dan Johnson, the athletic director at Hopkins, who's just one of the greats in that profession, and I know how much preparation goes into these things, because you're not just rolling out some baseballs and playing ball. You know, you got to be ready for anything. Your trainers have to be ready in conditions like this, where it's just hot, and it's not just the athletes and the officials and the coach. It's the fans. It's the media. You know, somebody could go down. There could be something bad happening. I have not heard of anything serious happening this week. But kudos to all these activities directors and site managers. They got to be ready for anything. And I know they all prepare. We have a great group of activity directors in Minnesota, and all these site managers and athletic trainers. And in fact, up at St. Cloud Tech for tennis, they were ready up there. They had a cold bath already set up, like, you know, a big tub sitting outside filled with cold water with a hose right there. And I didn't know tennis players when I was up there on Tuesday needed to use it, but they're ready. And I think at most of these sites, you know, they're doing everything they can, including having those big tubs filled with water and bags of ice at the ready if somebody gets overheated and they have to help them out. So it's a great time of year. Like I said, Jim, we're going to be okay in the weather. It's hot, but you know what? This is Minnesota. We're used to extremes, and it's a great time of year. And another almost like 9 days from now, as we're speaking, we're going to be through with the school year in sports and activities. And what a year it's been. I don't know how else to talk about it. I don't have the words to describe what this has been like. We've all been through it. You and I've talked about it a lot. And man, oh man, there were some dark days and a few bright lights. And then, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel just got bigger and bigger. And I think we're at the end of the tunnel now.
And I want to thank John and everyone on this network who has given us great storytelling, great content. The content's not my favorite word, but it does sum up, you know, what everybody does on this network. Everybody last summer, or you know, last spring, was like, okay, how are we going to cover sports? How are we going to fill up a sports yeah. section? How are we going to run a sports podcast network? And frankly, nobody missed a beat. Everybody just told stories and broke down the games and you know, brought news, brought perspective. But the great thing about people, you know, both at the Star Tribune and our staff, you and your A job, but also everybody on this network, is everybody can tell a story. Everybody can contextualize, everybody can bring memories, everybody can bring analysis and intelligence, and that's made all of this work. So thank you to John for doing that. As always, thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton, for putting all this stuff together. And we'll be back. We're gonna give John next week off, then we'll be back 2 weeks from now to recap a lot of the state tournaments and let you know what's going to happen this summer. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.